Hey guys, welcome back to Talks with Maria. In episode 140, we are talking about how life prepares you for your dream business if you pay attention enough. Please remember to check out Confident Business Women's Academy, where I teach you how to make money doing what you love online. Let's begin. Hello, hello, guys. Okay, so today I am driving to get my mom. My mom lives on the other side of town. And her and I are getting our vaccines. Hers is the second, and then mine is the first today. I'm kind of excited about it. I think this is just a big step forward in kind of getting back to normalcy to me. It's like a symbol. So I'm like super thrilled to get vaccinated. So weird. Anyway, so today I want to talk about, you know, the journey I've had, and hopefully it can kind of reassure you guys. Because I know a lot of the people that I get to work with and talk to and connect with on a daily basis, they're kind of all in that boat where, when is it going to happen? You know, when is this thing going to really take off? When is this thing going to give me a sign that I'm doing the right thing? Like, I'm getting that kind of feeling, that energy of, when is it going to like happen already? Like, when is it that I'm going to get my first client already? When is it that all of this is going to be worth all the things I've invested in? Time, effort, money, you know, all of the worry and doubt, all of that. When is it going to show me that everything that I'm doing now is worth it? And I get that energy, so I want to talk about it. You know, if you don't know like where I came from, I started off at my first job was I was a busser at like 15 at a Dutch restaurant in Washington, and I bused tables in high school, and my friends would tease me. Like, they'd come into the restaurant and tease me because I had to balance glassware on a you know, the trays. You know, when you're a server, you have to put all the stuff, you know. So same for busters, you have to use that same tray. And I used to bust tables, I used to clear tables and do that. And my friends would clown on me, right? But it was loving. It was like, don't drop those dishes, right? Or else it's gonna be funny as fuck. And then I'd just be like, fuck you guys, right? Well, that was my first job. And then I moved to Las Vegas because that's where my mom was from. And, you know, I had moved to back home to Las Vegas because I was living in Washington with my sister, to get away from my other sister, who was fucking a crazy lunatic. So I lived with my other sister and had like the time of my life in Washington. It was kind of like, you know, the feeling of Washington was like Dawson's Creek. You know, very homey, very connected. Literally, there was a creek. Like, literally, there was like a lake. Everywhere you turn, there was water. And it was just beautiful, you know. And it matched the community, too. The community we had was like a bunch of Filipinos. It was super well-knit. You know, Filipinos talk about each other, but that's just how it is. Not Filipinos, just everybody. If you live too close together and it's a small town, everyone knows everyone. That's not the point here. The point here is that I'd moved back to Las Vegas to graduate high school. And then when I moved back, I decided to work. And I worked as a barista. So I made coffee for this company called Jitters Coffee. And that's where I learned, you know, my first goal was to save money for a car. Because my family wasn't wealthy enough, or like not even average, to be able to say, buy me a car, give me a car that they had. You know, I had to work for my first car because I took the bus everywhere. So early on, I was kind of already working a lot. I went to school from like 7 in the morning to like 1. And then I took the bus, and the bus was an hour long trip to the strip. And I would take the bus. I think my whole junior and half of my senior year, just doing this in and out, right? Taking the bus to the strip, working. I think my schedule is like 2 to 10. 2 to 10. And then I take the bus home. So I'd get home at about 11, 11:30, get home, maybe do some homework, go to sleep, do it again the next day, right? So at a young age, I'd been working and, you know, just really like, just trying to get money, you know, trying to, you know, live and get money. So, you know, I think that I learned a lot there because I was able to save some money. I bought my first car. I think I saved like $2,500. I bought my car. It was like a 1989 Acura Integra. It was a bucket of a vehicle, but it was my bucket, right? I was in high school and I worked really hard for it. I was really proud of my car. And anyway, so I got my car. That was my goal, was to not take the bus, and I was able to get that. And then from there, the Jitters Cafe that I worked in was in one of the casinos. And I had made friends with the front desk people in that casino, and they were like, hey, we're hiring. Do you want to apply as a front desk agent? And mind you, I'm like 18 years old. So I'm thinking front desk agent is like top-notch career, right? Like, ah, shit, I'm about to land me this corporate job, right? Not really knowing that it's just a hospitality, you know, it's front desk. You're on your feet. It's a lot of work, right? You're checking in people all day long. But at the time, I was super thrilled because at the time I was working $7 an hour at Jitters plus tips. And the tips was like really cool because I got like $100 a day or $150 a day on tips, which is like a lot for me as a high school person. Okay, so what's this highway? Oh boy. Am I going the right highway? These exits here they look so different now. After they've reconstructed the fucking thing. Okay, I think I'm going the right way. Yep, I am. Okay, great. So I was making $7 an hour, right, at this place. And I thought I was making bank because the tips I was getting was like $100 a day. Like, wow, that's $500 in tips a week. That's not even my hourly paycheck. So I was just like banking my tips. I was, you know, but I had a goal. So I was really, like, really determined to go get myself a car. I would even, like, at the bus stop, I remember I would deliberately visualize myself driving my car in at the bus stop. Like, I would see people drive their car and I would see myself in there in the driver's seat. In their car. So even at a young age, I was already doing some visualization work, and I didn't really know what it did. I was just doing it because it made me feel like it reminded me of my goal. Like, you know, even though I'm sitting here at the bus stop and it's 110 degrees and I don't got it like everybody else over here, you know, and I'm doing it like the grinding work of trying to get a car, I know that I have an end goal in mind and I'm really close. You know, I'd always remind myself, I'm almost there. Just keep going. And I'd imagine myself in these vehicles, driving myself to work, driving myself to school, you know, whatever the fuck. So I was already doing the visualization part, right? Not really knowing how powerful it was. So anyway, got my car and then an opportunity came where they were like, hey, there's a front desk position available and they're paying $13 an hour. And that's double what I was already making. I was making about $7 an hour at Jitters, and at the casino, they're like, hey, you can get paid $13 an hour, Right. And I was like, what? No way. You know, but you don't get tips. So it's like, all right, that's okay. Right. But, you know, at least I get this credibility of, because you get to wear a suit. You know, at the front desk, you have to put on like appropriate, everyone has the same kind of uniform. So it was my first like real serious job that I felt like, oh my God, this is like really cool. So I worked there for some time. Then several properties opened. They moved me to different properties, you know, got paid more because at different properties, it's like more luxury. And, you know, over time, it was seniority, obviously. And I worked up, right? I worked up into getting paid about $17 an hour. In like a couple of years, I got some raises and I felt really good about it. And then I figured I wanted to get into business. You know, at the time I was working at the hotels being a front desk agent. I was going to school as a fashion designer. I dropped out of that because it was stupid. I almost judged myself the whole time because it was like, how can I really make money doing this? You know, we would literally do like classes of drawings, you know, drawing, fashion stuff, and really fun classes. It was like it was kind of like an art institute. It wasn't art institute. It was a cheaper version. I don't remember what it was called. It's no longer available or open last time I checked. But I remember thinking, I can't make money doing this. This is like literally drawing. I'm doing drawing stuff right now. I'm drawing, right? And I judged myself for wanting to be in fashion and then also not knowing if I could really make money off of it. So therefore I used that as a reason to quit and get out of that school. So I dropped out of that. And then I decided to work in business. So somehow I landed myself a job with my experience as a front desk agent. I really learned how to talk to people. You know, I learned how to communicate well, not talk ghetto, kind of talk the same language as the people I'm talking to, and have that professionalism. I learned my professionalism through being in front desk and being in hospitality. So I took that professionalism skill along with some computer skills and all of that to my new job, which I became a receptionist at this corporate planners company. And what a corporate planner is, it's like a company that helps businesses plan their corporate entities, right? Filing their LLCs, filing their business licenses, getting their bank account set up for their business, creating a business plan, an operational agreement, all of these things that is needed for a business startup. So I started doing that as a receptionist, and I quickly got promoted as one of the people that would help the CEO book appointments for him to sell to them. So his method was he had leads from a sister company, and the sister company would throw him leads, and these leads were like primed to buy for the company. They were like people who were interested in starting a business in Nevada. So my job, right, after I'd worked as a receptionist and they were like, we want to use you to make appointments because I sound really well on the phone. They were like, you need to do, this is your new job, right? You book appointments, you're going to call them and you're going to invite them to book a call with Chris. Chris was my boss and he was the main salesperson. And you got to invite them to book a call with Chris, and you set his schedule. So you're going to invite them to book a call, and you're going to give them a download of what to expect on the call. He's going to educate you on what, you know, LLCs are, the difference between all the corporations, what we're going to do for you, and what time would you like to make an appointment? Right? So I literally booked appointments. So you know how we do, you know, if you guys are in my program, I'm always like, do your outreach, book appointments, right? Get your calendar filled with people to talk to and make offers with. So he had me booking these calls for him before he even talked to them. They were already primed to see him as an authority, to see him as an expert, to see that, you know, it was kind of grounding before they jumped on the phone with him. So anytime he got on the phone with them, the percentage of closing them was high. It was high because of the model he had. Then eventually he taught me how to sell. He was like, okay, Maria, you've been doing this enough. Why don't you start selling so that it's not just me? So he would teach me how to sell. It was the most terrifying thing ever. I was so nervous. I remember doing it by myself in a room. I closed the door and I had the script and I was going through the script with this person. The person bought, but I was terrified. And my boss was on the other side of the door, and him and I were really cool. Like the dynamic of the business was super chill. You know, it was literally me and him and his sister. His sister became the receptionist, and then I became like the next person up, and then my boss. And so I had literally was like, I can't do this sale with you here. It's making me want to shit in my pants. So I have to go in this office. I shut the door. There's a window to look into the hallway. So he was looking at me the whole time like, hey, do you need help? Hey, are you good? Hey, are you good? Right? And I was like, oh my God, please let me just fuck this up to see what I need to do, like what I can do to make it better. But I closed the person. It was $1,000 sale. I made like, I think my cut was $100, right? So he got $9, I got $100. I closed that first sale at about 21 years old. And I have to say that left a really scary feeling of sales in my mouth. I was like, you know, never again am I doing that. I didn't try it again. I didn't feel like doing it again. It gave me the fucking jitters. And I didn't get back into sales until 12 years later when I started my business. So why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because the people who do sales are the people who make a shitload of money. You know, my boss, he was closing 20 clients a week, and he was the sell for him for each client was $1,000. So he was making $20,000 a week, almost making $100,000 a month, just forming entities for people who are ready to buy, right? So, you know, in the world of sales, you can really make a fortune if you just learn how to navigate who you are on the call and how to navigate how to show up for people on the call. So what did I learn when I had first did that with my boss and working for his company? Well, I learned that you can't get good at sales just once. You actually have to keep doing it over and over again until you let go of that fear of sales and let go of that fear about talking about money and helping people, right? It's a consistent effort towards practicing your way of communicating that will make you better. So when I did it once, I never returned to it again until I started my own business. Until I became my own business owner. I was super passionate about making this shit happen, that I literally just fucked up all my sales calls all the way until I got it right. And that was my intention. I remember thinking, other people can do this and I'm no different. I can fucking figure this shit out. And if it means I have to fuck up all of my calls until I figure this shit out, I'm gonna fuck it all up and I'm gonna own that shit until I figure this shit out. And guess what? I figure this shit out. Like, it's, you know, I had a call a couple of days ago with kind of like a know-it-all. Okay, she kind of had a know-it-all attitude. She was, I'm not going to say too much because she may be listening because I love you to death, but she had a know-it-all attitude, right? She had an attitude of, I know all this shit. I know this. And I felt that, right? And initially, it can be intimidating to talk to someone who feels like they just know more than you. It can be like intimidating, right? But luckily, I've been doing this shit. Like, I talked to so many different people, you know-it-alls, nice people, pushovers, yes men, people who are kind of controlling, people who think that they can't do it and they're wasting their time on with you on the phone. I talked to every single kind of person, so I knew how to handle her. But hadn't I known how to handle her and had the practice, I probably wouldn't have sold her. You know, in the end of all of this, you know, for the know-it-alls, you gotta do the takeaway thing. Well, if this isn't for you, then let me know when it is, right? Because I can really help you with that. It's the takeaway that kind of makes them feel like they don't know it all. That's really the key. But, you know, it's also about being able to show up for people. You know, I get a ton of people that tell me, oh my God, I really loved connecting with you. I referred you to some people that need some help. Hopefully they get in touch with you. I really enjoyed our conversation. I'd had another client that tell me, you know, the only reason why I signed on with you is because you were so generous on the phone. You really gave me so much information that when I talked to other people, they just wanted to pitch to me. And I didn't like that. I didn't appreciate it. But for you, you didn't even pitch to me. You just gave me really valuable information that I could probably put into play at that moment in that time. So as you do these strategy calls, as you talk to people, as you start talking about how you can support them, it's less about the pitch, it's less about a sales call, and it's more about being able to, it's more about being able to show up for them in a big way. It's about being generous on the phone. I think that's one of the biggest things that I really stand on is the generosity I have when I do my strategy calls. You know, the more generous you are, I believe the more generous you are in every relationship you have, the universe responds accordingly. If you're generous in your relationships, even on strategy calls, even in your romantic relationships, if you're generous, the universe sees that as, oh, I see her energy. Her energy is generous. I'm going to be generous to her as well. If you are stingy with your energy, if you're stingy with your information, if you are kind of like a taker, if you are too fast on your strategy calls, if you think too much about yourself in your relationships, the universe gives you that back. The universe will think for itself. It won't give you the things that you want. It won't be generous to you. It's going to be stingy. So, you know, in sales, I think the big thing that I've learned in sales is that when you're generous on the phone and you're not hiding nothing and you're being super transparent and you're being super of service and being giving of your information, when you're in that place, I kid you not, these people love that. And if the people don't buy from you that you're generous with, they just weren't meant to be your clients. And even in that, your generosity echoes into the universe. You know, and there's a lot of power there. And I don't want you guys to misconstrue how other people have told you, hey, don't overcoach on your calls. Yeah, I don't recommend to like literally spell out every single thing in your program. However, you can also show up for them. Damn, this lady took the fucking longest time to turn, man. What the fuck? All right. Okay, guys. I'm about to go get my vaccine. I probably will come back here in a little bit. If you enjoyed this show, please remember to subscribe, like, and share. If you are interested in collaborating, please send me an email, info@talkswithmaria.com.